Listening to Breakfast with Ruined Its Catch-Up can make you easily distracted. But there's one thing you need to remember. Mother's Day is on its way. Spoil mum at Chemist Warehouse with fragrances like Giorgio Armani C 50ml for $109.99. Or Issey Miyake for women, 100ml, only $69.99. 104.7 Triple M.
Oh, hello, good morning on this Friday. Gleeso and Alice, it's hard to know what day it is.
I know, man. I've been thrown out all week.
I feel obviously. Like it's Monday.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Last night, sitting home, I thought it's like Sunday night.
Ready to get start
up
again.
Get up for Monday morning, which makes it a one-day week, doesn't it, today?
Perfect.
How good absolutely. Are we going to feel in 2 hours when we're all done? Weekend's here, baby.
Yeah. Alice, what's coming up on the show
We've
today?
We've got a big show today. We've got Maddie Preston coming on because MasterChef starts next week.
Yeehaw. Oh, can't wait.
We have Limo coming in as well for a few jokes.
Mm-hmm.
He had the footy show last night, so I'm sure he has some opinions on the footy yesterday. And Sam Shaheen from The Bend.
Mm.
So all about the MotoGP that's on this weekend.
All right. I want to not turn it into a footy show, but I want to ask the question a little bit later on. Is it un-Australian to boo? So Scott Pendlebury yesterday wins the medal and the crowd boos. We'll talk all about that shortly. Ruined It's here on Triple M this week with Gleeso and Alice the Wag.
Ruined It's top three things you need to know.
Hey, Gleeso, will you be getting the board out today and heading to the south coast?
I wish, mate. I used to surf a lot when I was a young fella.
Yeah.
But since I moved here, I'm scared of the big yakkers, the big Noahs floating around.
Well, where did
bite.
You surf as a kid?
In Newcastle.
There were sharks.
Sharks
there.
There were sharks there, obviously.
Right.
But massive swells, 6 to 8 metre swells are expected along the South Australian and Victorian coast, which is going to go well for Bells Beach because the Bells Beach Easter Classic usually happens over Easter, but they had to postpone it. And a good thing they did. That's going to be huge swells over there.
So tell me this, our south coast here in South Australia, will nutters actually get out there thinking, oh, this is good, or will it put people off?
You bet. People are going to be just absolutely over the moon about the fact there's big swell coming and getting their rubber out and heading down the coast for
Last
sure.
Last time there was a big storm at Glenelg, there was people out surfing. At Glenelg.
Right.
And some of them hit the pier.
Didn't see it?
No.
What's that thing? Oh, bang.
Yeah, so, I mean, I wish I was a younger man out there having a crack, but 6 to 8 metres, they're big, big waves.
Do you actually not surf anymore just because of sharks?
No, it's just a little bit harder. Since I moved here, I kind of haven't found the spots. People go, you've got to go to Middleton, and then they say you've got to head right out to the far-flung parts on the way to West Australia to get good waves as well. So I'm not that much of an adventurer.
So down at Goolwa and Middleton and Boomer today and Waypinga, they'll be quite busy.
Beautiful.
Actually, awesome. The other thing that happened once down at Glenelg, so there were whales, apparently. This is my favourite Glenelg story. Alice the Wax gone walking. Walking her dog along Glenelg Beach and starts actually talking to little kids on the beach, going, look out there, there are whales off the Glenelg Beach. And we announced it on air here.
Right.
And what photos up on
what they were, there are these water spouts just off the shore at Glenelg. What are they, Alice?
They're like dredging or something.
And there's water shooting up in the air. And Alice is actually telling anyone that wanted to listen, walking past, look, there are whales out
Alice's
there.
Alice's whale watching tours. Brilliant.
I was so excited. I stood there for probably 2 hours watching these birds. I've never seen a whale before.
And you still haven't.
I still haven't.
I have to say, when you do see it, they are spectacular.
I can imagine, because this pipe was amazing. So.
Ah, gee. That's what we need to install along our coast. We talk tourism. That'll bring everyone to South Australia. Have spouts all along our coast. We could look at them forever. Now, booing at the football. Now, yesterday, I think we've got some audio of this. Scott Pendlebury wins the award on Anzac Day, wins the Anzac medal, which is a wonderful achievement. And, the Essendon crowd reacted, didn't they?
And the winner of the Anzac Day medal is Scott Pendlebury of the Collingwood Footy Club.
Just on behalf of both sides, I want to thank the crowd. Amazing today to Essendon. I think that's what Anzac Day football is about. It was played in a great spirit. All the best for the rest of the year. And well done to our boys. Way to fight it out. Cheers. Thank you.
So, Scott Pendlebury, a champion of the game and played very, very well. And it was a brilliant game of football. Alice, you're a Collingwood supporter. You must have been beside yourself. I mean, a 4-point game. It was fantastic.
It was a great game. And I think the main thing that Mum and Dad sat in, they said they were in the middle of the Essendon cheer squad.
Right.
And they said they were horrific all day, but that's football. They didn't care. But it was the afterwards when they were booing after the game's finished. And it's like Pendlebury won the Anzac medal. stands for so much more than just a game, just have a little bit of respect. But it was because the umpiring was so bad towards Essendon in the last probably 10 minutes that they all are saying that it lost them the game.
Yeah, which is wrong.
Which is because, it was very bad umpiring, but I would say it's very bad from both sides. Like Collingwood lost a couple of goals over bad calls just from umpiring.
Well, so I don't go for either side. And I can tell you, the umpiring was horrendous. It was shocking. But the fact is there's 92,000 people on a wonderful day, a great celebration. But, Gleeso, I think booing is part of the game, isn't it?
Surely.
I think during the game, like I'll give you an example. Tonight I'm going to the Port-North Melbourne game, and there are two players playing for North Melbourne that left Port Adelaide last year. Polek and Pittard. I think when they get the ball tonight, they'll get booed by certain sections of the crowd. That is what we do. My son and I will boo. No, but that is what we do, don't we? Now, people listening will say that's a pathetic and you shouldn't boo. And what? Well, it's been happening for centuries. Yeah. And if someone leaves your club and goes somewhere else, well, you're going to boo.
That's exactly right. And look, as long as there's no, you know, vilification or there's obviously malice because you want the other team to lose.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's part of the sport.
I don't want the bloke shot or hung or anything.
Yeah,
it's a game of, I just want to boo him when he gets the ball because he left my club.
Exactly. That's right.
I don't hate the person forever, just when he's playing against us. That's all.
But I think when you've got two diggers presenting a medal, I think that's when the booing needs to stop. I'm all for booing during the game, but a bit of respect for the presentations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nope, and go Scott Pendlebury and go Collingwood. Yeah. I'm not apologizing. Everyone in Glenelg who heard me screaming yesterday, I'm so sorry.
You're not. You're just
Are we talking about the footy here or what? Now, Gleeso, tell us about hair dryers.
Well, listen, there's a fad. There's a new thing. It says 12 tips on how to lose weight without strict diet. So this is dieting for lazy people or weight loss for lazy people.
Right.
They're saying that you can get a very hot hair dryer and spray it on your problem areas like your guts, right?
Right.
So you just sit there with a hairdryer on your guts and it's supposed to melt the fat and help you sweat.
I'm in.
Right.
I actually I'm reading that going, how stupid. But I also am going to go home and grab my hairdryer. I have tried everything.
Do it all weekend and tell us how
it
goes.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Yeah, I will. There's on the YouTube video that says this hack to lose weight, they've had over 1 million people watch it.
Right.
And all the doctors are like, do not do this. But I still kind of want to try it.
A million people can't be wrong.
No.
I do this one that's called dry brushing, and it's supposed to help cellulite. And you do it before you get in the shower, and you get a really coarse brush and just brush the crap out of your skin in circular motions, like on your thigh. And Joel always just stands in the bathroom being like, what are you doing? And it's never worked, but I just keep doing it and it hurts. It's horrible. Anyway, so I'll try the hairbrusher. I'll let you know.
There you go.
There's a really good joke about this and I'll tell it to you right now during the song and you can then tell me if I'm allowed to do it on air, all right? Okay.
I love it already.
That's what's making news. Hey, in a moment, Matt Preston's going to join us. Always popular, of course, MasterChef returns on the weekend. It's Ruined. It's on Triple M with Gleeso and Alice. Ruined. It's here on Triple M this week with Gleeso and Alice the Wag. And Alice, Monday night season 11 returns. Tell us all about it.
Yes, it starts and everyone is coming on to cook their signature dish. So,
hang on, what is it? I said season 11. That was your big chance to go. And it's?
What?
MasterChef.
Oh. What?
Monday night, 7:30. Matt Preston, good morning.
Well.
Matt, I can only lead her so much, honestly.
You know what it is? Oh. I started, the first ever radio stuff I did was with Alice's dad, and he would be mortified.
Oh,
yes, it's back, it's MasterChef. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to bring the signature dish. Bring us the energy, the enthusiasm. Come on, you should be pumped up. Here you are on the air. Let's go.
Collingwood had a win yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Another big reason to be excited. The prison bars reign supreme in Melbourne.
Now, perfect. Do you get pumped up before the show's just about to go to air? You're very excited?
I woke up at 4:48 this morning, like beside myself.
Awesome.
It's a bit like look, waking for school camp. You know, you look forward to it all year, and then suddenly it's here, and it's, you know, there's a lot of hard work for an awful lot of people. We're really proud of the group of guys. You spend a lot of time with them now. It's a really great group of people. They've got some fantastic dreams. And we get happy when the food's good. So when the food's good, we're joyous. When the food's terrible, we're really grumpy. And we've been, I think, the happiest we've been on a show for 11 seasons.
Matt, just on that, we've spoken to you a lot, and especially with Roo with his pubs, about things that you see on menus these days. It changes and it changes all the time. So if you go back 11 seasons, are chefs so much better now, or are they just discovering different things?
I think there's been a massive change in how many people take food, like, you know, they're willing to cook, they're willing to try stuff, they want to go to different restaurants, you know, they want to go and have Afghani food at Parwana, you know, they want to do different stuff. So maybe we're a bit more kind of straight down the line 11 years ago. The other thing though we have noticed is certainly this season there's a lot less of that dust, foams, kind of what we would, I think, professionally called wanky food. A lot less of that going on, and a lot more of just really good cooking, fantastic dumplings, the really good chili sauce, or the perfect schnitzel, like the best schnitzel you've ever had anywhere. And for me, it's harder to make something you know so well, like a really good ravioli or a really good schnitzel, stand out, because you've had so many, you've got such a good benchmark. You know, if it's a dust of ocelot tail, you've never had that before, so how do you know if it's good or bad dust of ocelot tail? So yeah, it's a lot more down to earth. I think that's much more fun for us, but that's where food's moved.
So speaking of wanky foods, what are your thoughts on like vegan foods and all these cafes that are opening up? Like, does any contestants do any vegan or anything?
We've had vegan and vegetarian contestants from season one onwards. We had a paleo contestant season two. So it's kind of that they've all
funnily
been
enough,
there.
None of them have ever won.
You know what? I'm currently shooting my new cookbook, and it's all working title is Dirty Filthy Vegan.
Good.
Because you can make stuff that's vegan or that's vegetarian that goes with a beer that is dirty, filthy, and delicious. It doesn't have to taste like you're eating gravel and cardboard. And there's this weird thing that we've grown up for so long associating the texture of gravel and cardboard with healthy food that now people try and make things taste healthy and by making them gravelly and cardboardy. But you can make the most amazing kind of tater top, potato gem, and it can easily be vegan. Imagine that, a vegan potato tot, you know, heaven.
Well, I've been myself trying to incorporate vegetarian meals at least once or twice a week at home. Yeah. And that's what I want to get to at home. I think, watching the show, I'm a big fan of MasterChef. Everyone that goes on there that does well seems to have been cooking from a very young age, influenced by their mothers, grandmothers and stuff like that.
Yeah, look, I think that's kind of become a bit of the grandmother thing. I learned everything from my nonna, from my yaya. And you look at their food and it's a kind of strange kind of glass concoction with dust and foam. You go, your grandmother did not make that. That is rubbish. So I think there's an element of saying I'm seasonal, I'm regional, or local. At the end of the day, I just want them to be tasty. Mm-hmm. It's about tasty food is what we want. So texture. But I think we're getting more interested at home at trying different things. And, you know, there are a lot of people, you know, they want to eat more vegetables. You know, the old idea when the meat was the center of the plate, delicious though that is, now people want, you know, they want the joy of a really lovely bit of roast pumpkin as well as your meat, as.
Mm. So on the promo, the contestants walk up to you guys with a plate and you've got all three judges there and they look like they're absolutely crapping themselves.
They are.
Which you would be. Who, as a judge, who do you have to cook for ever in your life? Is there someone that you...
Oh, my children are horrible to me. They're horrible. Because, you know, like obviously when we're filming, and that's 7 months, 8 months a year, obviously during that period, I get back at 7:30. So I arrive back in time to do the washing up. That's my role. I come back, jack it off, do the washing up. Fantastic. Sit with my wife and have a cup of tea. But when I'm back and I'm cooking, then you know, there'll be stuff that works well. I made some nice mussels that they were not going to eat that, and they loved it. But then I'm also experimenting the whole time. I was trying to make, because obviously we throw away banana peels. I was trying to make a vegan bacon using banana peels.
Mm-hmm. And
if you still can look on my Instagram feed, you'll see in the oven it looks like bacon. It's golden, like candied maple candied bacon. And it's not bad, but the kids just looked at me and went, why can't we just have pig bacon, Dad? Yeah. It's so much better than banana peel bacon. So there's a large amount of that going on in my house. Just going, you're being an idiot, Dad. Stop it.
Matt, thanks for joining us. Looking forward to it. Tell us about it, Alice.
MasterChef season 11. So excited. Starts Monday, 7:30 on Channel 10. Don't miss it. You'd be crazy.
Good on you, Matt Preston. Thanks,
you. Bye-bye. Well done, Alice. You're
thank
amazing.
You made it better.
Ruined. It's on Triple M with Gleeso and Alice. Ruined It's here on Triple M this week with Galiso and Alice the Wag. And gang, I've got to say, very, very proud here in South Australia to see what's happened at the Bend, just out of Taylor Bend there. To put us on the international motorsport map, a family has done this, which I just find remarkable. And this weekend, it'll be the centre of attention, the International Moto Fest, 25 to 28 of April. So there's so much happening. I think we're doing motorbikes this weekend.
Yes.
But in the past, they've had V8 supercars. And I mean, it's only been open a year or two, and they've done great things. And the family we're talking about are the Shahins, and Sam Shahin joined us. Good morning, Sam.
Top of the morning to you and everyone listening. Good. How are you?
Yeah, good. Look, congratulations so far on what you've achieved and what you've done. Tell us about this weekend, because I'm led to believe this could be very, very important in securing major motorbike events in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, we just turned one last week. The Bend literally turned a year old a week ago. And although it's only been a year, we've pursued new events for South Australia. You know, these are events that can showcase our proud country, our great state, and establish our credentials as the Bend as a destination for great international events. So this is a doubleheader with Australian Superbikes and Asia Road Racing Championship. Keep in mind that Asia Road Racing is an event that has never been to Australia before, let alone South Australia.
Good.
And this is the second year that they've come here. So these are riders from India, Japan, Indonesia, Malaysia, from all over Asia. This is their primary championship in Asia, and we're very proud that we've secured them coming to here in South Australia.
Now, I'm no motorsport expert, but is it pretty rare to have a track that can have both cars and motorbikes racing on it? Do you have to change things about it this weekend to make it a facility that motorbikes can ride on?
I tell you, that is a very, very good question.
Good question, Alice.
Thank you.
You're starting with the hard stuff, I tell you. It is incredibly complex, and one of the major issues we had to deal with in the 4 or 5 years of planning for the Bend was how can we develop a track, a facility that can cope with the top tier of motorsport for two wheels and four wheels, because their requirements are slightly different, where barriers are located are different, where start lines are different. They're logistically very, very different disciplines to engage on the one track. So yes, there's a whole heap of work that gets done in the lead up to major events, whether they're two wheels or four wheels. We've got a team that has pulled a few all-nighters in the last week or so just to make it ready. Yesterday, the flags were flying. You will be very proud as a South Australian just to walk through the Bend and just see what we are putting on just in our own backyard today.
Well, I have friends who've been and attended events out there, and they cannot talk highly enough about the facility. Have you noticed that the word of mouth that people going and enjoying it firsthand is helping bring bigger crowds to the joint?
It is by far and away the best means of people coming back. You know, we can say what we want. Everybody thinks their, you know, their poo doesn't stink. I think we've got the best facility in the world, but that means nothing unless people go and experience it and decide for themselves that this is a facility worthy of them visiting again and worthy of them coming in to watch an event and spend, you know, 20 or 25 bucks for a day's entertainment. You know, for something like today, I'm well aware that a consumer has an option to go to the football, to go and spend their money in a park somewhere or in a shopping centre. And we just have to establish the credentials of this facility here in South Australia as worthy of us South Australians visiting and supporting it.
Now, Sam, with the Superbikes, we know about Phillip Island. It's a very, very famous race, a part of the international circuit. What are the chances of getting a race like that in the future?
That is another very good question. You know, I have not made any secret of our ambition to attract the best events in the world here. And you've got to start with the product. We have a product. The Bend is ready and able to host the peak, the best of international events, including World Superbikes, including MotoGP. It will be the only facility in Australia that is a Category 1 for bikes. So Phillip Island doesn't carry that tag, keep
right.
in mind,
okay.
but they have historically won the event. So we are this weekend. We are establishing our credentials, our ability to hold these big events, and we have been for many years in discussions with those peak bodies to attract those big events to South Australia. And you know, you have to be ambitious. There are lots of knocks along the way, and gosh, we've taken a few, but we won't stop until we secure bigger and better events for this great state.
Fantastic. All right, so there's action there today, Saturday and Sunday. Yep, head on out to the Bend and check out world-class motorsport action. Sam, before you leave us, I just want to ask you about the announcement made earlier in the week by OTR on the run. Yes. 400 jobs, potentially new jobs, which is just magnificent news. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, in the same vein, I say again, I might sound a bit like a broken record. We are a very proud South Australian company. We are very proud South Australian folk. And, you know, we have to fight and we have to compete. It's a competitive landscape in any industry, whether you're in radio or selling petrol or in convenience or selling clothes. And we're no different. We have to continue to improve the way we run our business and the way we operate. And we're incredibly thrilled to be opening more outlets. We'll compete more, we'll employ more people, and hopefully that will ensure our sustainability into the future. So incredibly thrilled, very SA proud, about to head to the Bend. And by the way, before I go, I hope you won't mind me saying, everybody from Tailand Bend, if you're a Tailand Bend or Wellington East local, you come in free today. So,
brilliant. Awesome.
Everybody
well
from the town,
yep,
come in and enjoy a bit of the action today.
Good on you. Well done, Sam. Hope you have a great weekend. I'm sure you will.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
I just looked up the weather. It's going to be a beautiful 18 and 19, a little bit cloudy, not too hot, cold. Kids under 12 get in for free. There's parking there. You'd be crazy
all
not
right.
to.
All right, Sam Shahin, and we're talking about the Bend all weekend. Ruined It's on Triple M in a minute. Gleeso is going to tell us all about, what's it called?
Avengers Endgame.
Righto, that's coming up next.
We found something. A chance, maybe. Thanos used the stones again. So let's get him. Use them to bring everyone back.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that. So we have a chance to take it all back. It's not about how much we lost. It's about how much we have left.
Who hasn't been to space? You better not throw up on my ship.
Yesterday, James Gleeson was our special guest, 11 years old. It was his birthday. Sorry, the day before he was our guest. And Gleeso, birthday present, you took him to see this movie.
Yes, yes. It was his and another boy's birthday celebration. We went and saw Avengers Endgame. There are so many spoilers. I really can't say anything about what happens in the movie. What I can tell you is that Chris Hemsworth is rocking aboard the ladies, and some of the dads will love. Robert Downey Jr. is absolutely brilliant, as always. I've always loved him. Ever since I saw him in a movie called Less Than Zero in the 80s, he's been a huge favourite of mine. And the story is as intricately woven as a Fakari rug.
Mm.
A brilliant cameo by Renee Russo. You may remember her as Mel Gibson's love interest in Lethal Weapon 3. Still an absolute babe. There's heaps of tear-inducing scenes. They're both happy tears and sad tears.
Right.
I mean, for anyone who's been invested in the Marvel Cineverse, which is 22 movies, I think they've made all around the whole franchise. It's got the usual great sense of humour. Marvel does it really well. DC does it really badly, but Marvel always has good, with the action, some great funny stuff and some well-written scenes. The direction, script, acting, FX were all outstanding. The only downside being it's going to end up costing me double because there's so much to take in that I'll have to go and see again.
Now, Gleeso, I know nothing about the Marvel series, but what I do know, I read yesterday where world records, like everywhere, just sold out. I heard on Kennedy Malloy the other night, someone was trying to go, rang every cinema in Melbourne and could not get one seat in a cinema anywhere in Melbourne. So, I mean, we're talk about box office records. This
Absolutely.
Is incredible.
I mean, the place was full yesterday. Well, mostly full. It was one of those movies where there were spontaneous outbursts of cheering and stuff like that, which
really?
I haven't seen in a movie for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 4.5 out of 5, but what I will give, I'm only going to give 1 out of 5 to the seating at the cinema that we're at.
Oh.
Too comfortable. Katie elbowed me one stage.
You nodded off.
Oh. One of the most exciting movies I've seen in 5 years. I was snoring. So, yeah.
That's what dads do.
What are you doing with them chairs? It's silly to give you like a nice, comfortable armchair. You sit back, put your feet up, and I'm gone.
And so, I see your brother. I saw it on Twitter. Your brother went, Alice.
He did. And do you know there's articles online? It's such a big thing that it goes 3 hours and people have written articles as to when you need to go to the toilet.
That's right. Right.
So you could, like, the article says, you know, if the Hulk is having lunch, you have a good 5 minutes where you can miss it. Okay. So that's how hectic it is.
Wow.
But MJ, my brother, loved it.
Right.
But he's like into it so much. Mm. He's so up to date with all the movies where I feel like I've watched them a bit out of order and I'm not fully across the storyline.
Is it true that there are 21?
I think 22 in the whole franchise. So that they include like Iron Man standalone movies, Spider-Man standalone movies and stuff. But the Avengers is when they all get together and wreak havoc across the universe.
And they've all kind of been done out of order a little bit as well.
Right. Now, just with the disclaimers and things like that. So during the start of the movie, does it tell you, please don't tell anybody about this? How does that work?
The directors have definitely, they've come out and said, please just keep it to yourself.
Don't
if
ruin
you're really
it.
A fan of the franchise, then you won't ruin it for other people. And I mean, there's just so many things that happen that I'd love to mention, but they give away plot things. Yep. It's not going
to. That's unusual, isn't it, to make a plea like that?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, and people are so invested in it, and they're such big fans of it that they're kind of more than happy to do that and keep the dream alive.
All right, but you highly recommend it.
Highly recommend it. I'm going to see it again.
I only want to see it now because you said Chris Hemsworth's got his hot bod in it.
Well, you see his bod.
My mum texted me the other day on our family group chat from a service station. She's like, I was just getting petrol, and one of the Hemsworth brothers was standing next to me getting a coffee. And me and my brother were like, oh, my God, that's so cool. Like, which one? We sent back photos. And she's like, oh, like, I don't know which one. And we're like, so actually you've just stood at a petrol station with someone that might be a Hemsworth but isn't. Because we, like, none of them were even in Australia.
What about the poor Hemsworth brother who's not a mad hunk? He's just some bloke. Poor
and not
bugger.
That good at acting either.
Not that good.
Yeah.
But Alice, you work with us every day. Does it have the same effect or not?
Oh, yeah, you look so much like Chris Hemsworth. Mm. Same rig, same head.
All right, 7:59. In a moment, we'll have a laugh with Limo. Oh, hello on this Friday morning. It's been a weird week. Some of us think it's bloody Sunday, Monday. No idea, but it is actually Friday.
3 day week.
Yes.
Bring it on.
In a moment, Limo is going to join us for a laugh.
Now, I've got a story for you. Yeah. This week, because it has been so weird, Marion Council have obviously been very busy because they've had a big vote with all their councillors there. And it's had to come down to like a tied vote, but then the mayor has had to overrule. And do you know what they're voting on?
What?
Whether residents are allowed to have fake grass on their nature strip instead of real grass. So they have officially ruled, everyone in Marion, that you are allowed to have fake grass on your nature strip because it probably does look better than having dead grass.
That's a weed. That is a win, and it's great to see they're tackling the big issues.
Surely less maintenance as well.
Well, that's what they're saying, but I have a neighbour who lives opposite me with fake grass on their nature strip.
Right.
And let me tell you, it's not less maintenance because he has to go out there nearly every day, it feels like, and he has this big heavy-duty outdoor vacuum.
Vacuum?
Yeah, he has vacuums to vacuum his lawn.
No, you can't be serious.
So on a Sunday morning, I don't get woken up by the sound of a lawnmower. I get woken up by the sound of a vacuum.
Oh, no.
It's so bad. And he's a bit older, so I don't think he has much going on. He's like, his lawn is his baby. And when I take the dog for a walk, he always goes to like lift a leg. And the looks you get from this man for peeing on his fake lawn.
Well, it might stain it.
It's not worth it.
It's like weeing on carpet. But I wonder if dogs are put off by fake lawn or whether they're just as happy to drop their
My dog doesn't appear to be off by the fake lawn, but he might also look at the old man and go, I'm going to get you here.
So he vacuums. I can't believe this.
Yeah, he gets the old Dyson.
I didn't think you'd have to do anything to fake lawn.
I thought that was the whole joy of the fake lawn is you just let it do its thing.
But then you look at some fake lawn that obviously doesn't get tended to and it does get a bit like mouldy and, you know, the dirt kind of builds up on it. So I do understand where he's coming from.
Okay.
My grandfather would have loved it. He was a lawn manicurer. And when I say a manicurer, I used to see him with scissors. Out clipping along the edge of the pass.
Like a bowling green.
Like a bowling green.
Wow.
God bless him.
All right. Limo to join us in just a moment. Ruined It's on Triple M. Nothing fake about this show. We're Gleeso and Alice the Wag.
Ruined It's for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Limo.
Limo! Yeah!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Now, normally we would clap and cheer Liam. I mean, I thought this morning we'd break the tradition and boo him. All right?
Boo.
Oh,
boo.
Oh,
that's better, guys. Yeah.
That's the Australian great, thing to do, isn't it?
In the great Australian tradition of booing. There we go. See, if I moved to another radio station, I'd totally expect to be booed by you lot. Oh, but the booing yesterday. Boy, Alice, you'd be up and about, wouldn't you?
I'm so up and about. I'm so glad you asked. I'm so happy.
With the Pies having a win there. But the booing of Scott Pendlebury, that would have made you angry, Alice.
So angry. He's a champion. He's done the right thing. He's played best on, clearly. No question about it.
Yeah.
Don't boo him.
Well, you know, do you know why they were booing? Here's the key to this whole thing. The reason they were booing is because he actually shouldn't have won the Anzac Day medal because clearly the best on ground were the umpires.
Oh,
so they were the ones who should have received that award because they had a bigger influence on that game than anyone, didn't they?
They
did. Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about the food poisoning outbreak up in the members?
No.
True story, 30 people collapsed and had to be taken to hospital. That's not even a joke. That's from the Essendon.
You're telling the truth.
That is a fair nickum true story. 30 people from the Essendon President's Function ate like a duck turin or something that teach them for being fancy.
Anyway,
severe gastro, people collapsing everywhere, and they had to be taken to hospital.
The salmon mousse. It was the salmon mousse.
Next time, have a pie and sauce like everyone else.
Exactly. But some of them say it was the food. Some of them say it was the putrid umpiring that made them.
And to the staff who served them that food, boo.
Yeah, boo them.
Boo, exactly.
I heard Tommy Taichi was actually the caterer at that game.
Tommy. That could be right. We'll find out on Monday,
He's done it again. Hey, we had Kevin Sheedy on the footy show last night. And we said, Sheeds, what do you make of the booing? And Sheeds, hilarious, says, that is disgusting that Collingwood fans would boo their own player at the MCG.
They'd boo Santa Claus, this mob.
But Pendles, I mean, he's asking for it. I went to his house this morning, actually, to boo him in the shower.
Yeah.
I got there was already 100 people out the front of his house booing him. So I don't mind. I mean, I'm okay with booing as long as we get a boo-splanation. That's what I'm calling it. I want to understand why people are booing.
Yep.
So there needs to be a boo-splanation on the scoreboard. So because I was confused Monday, genuinely, when Hawthorn fans were booing Gary Ablett, I was going, I don't understand why. They're booing. I wanted to know why. I wanted it to be up on the scoreboard.
Yep.
He liked the Israel flower. Okay, now I understand
now
why.
You get it.
I can decide whether I engage in the booing or not. And Ditz, you mentioned earlier, booing's been around for hundreds of years.
Mm.
That is true. That is true. When the first fleet arrived in Australia, they were booed by the indigenous population. The Romans booed Jesus when he was on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
My wife boos me around the house all the time.
I followed. We went on stage after a band who was so bad that they were still booing the band when we were on stage.
That's what they told you.
That's what you think. That needed a boo explanation.
We need more booing. You know, if a cab driver takes you down the wrong turn, boo. If you ordered a medium rare steak, it comes out well done. Walk boo. Into the kitchen, boo the chef.
Yeah.
I say, just has the boss ever booed you on ratings day, guys?
Regularly.
Every time.
I say, if you're booing, treat it like drinking and gambling. Just do it responsibly. Yeah, they're my only instructions.
That's a good rule. I like that.
Just do it responsibly. Hmm. Hey, did you see yesterday as well, Bill Shorten down in the rooms? You would have got jealous of this, Alice.
Mm.
Bill Shorten in the room cuddling up to a shirtless Scott Pendlebury.
Does make me jealous a little bit.
Have you seen the photo? He's almost giving him a little cuddle. But get used to this. Keep an eye out for this, guys, over the next month. Politicians trying to insert themselves into the AFL conversation.
Mm.
Bill Shorten cuddling Pendles. I thought that could actually score him votes. That's a good look, cuddling up to Scott Pendlebury. Josh Frydenberg during the week snapped a goal from the boundary line at the MCG. And I thought, well, that's actually going to score your votes. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. So I reckon if Clive Palmer can kick a torp from 60, I'm going to vote for him at the upcoming election. Hey, and finally, guys, have you seen the picture today of Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin together?
No. Looks like the end of the world as we know it.
It really does. Well, I think you guys might have mentioned earlier that they're filming it's a new Bond film is being shot at the moment. I think they're actually filming the opening scene with Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin together.
Yeah.
So wait to see them in the next Bond film.
Good on you, Limo.
Thanks, Limo.
Good on you guys. Have a good weekend. Is it the weekend?
I don't know. We're not sure.
I'm confused. Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow morning regardless of what happens.
Right. Hey, while we're talking booing, I wouldn't mind taking calls on this because it is fair dinkum. Yesterday, Scott Pendlebury was booed. There's been a lot of reaction to it. And I said to you earlier, Alice, I'm going to the footy tonight. I think it is normal. So there are two players who left Port Adelaide. They've gone to North Melbourne in Pollock and Pittard. And I reckon someone will boo tonight. If they get the ball, they get a kick. Someone will boo.
I love it. You keep saying someone will boo. Well, it will be you.
No, but don't you think, I mean, isn't it just what we like to do?
Yeah.
We're not nasty. We're not saying I want to shoot that person or whatever. It's just, it's a game of footy. That person chose to leave your club and go and play against you. So you react to it, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, mate, you yell out when they're taking a kick, your mother wears army boots, it's a brick, all that stuff. It's all part of the fun.
Or was yesterday a different situation where, because it was the Anzac Day, it's the Anzac medal, we should really, really respect that whole situation. I think that probably is a bit different to booing someone that's left your club to, I mean, can we split them? Can we, are there rules with this or not?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to give rules to the mob, that's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was just distasteful, I think, to be booing the Anzac medal.
133353, booing at the footy. I remember, you know, working with KG over the years, he used to be absolutely dead. You know, he'd say, stop booing a champion, don't boo. I mean, I remember Nathan Buckley playing, and you'd remember that, Alice.
Yeah, definitely.
Crowds here would boo him a lot.
All the time.
But he was a champion, an absolute champion. But it doesn't mean we don't like him or whatever. We're probably booing him because he's too good.
Yeah, the better you are, the more you get booed. That's it.
Yeah.
I think the players probably like, it probably spurs them on a little bit as well. You know, like when you get the ball and everyone's booing you, like, well, stuff you, I'm going to kick this goal in.
133353, booing at the footy. Is it a no-no or is it, you know, you've paid your admission price, you should be allowed to do it. Give us a ring. Hey, we've got a double to go and see Gleeso and the Screaming Jets. This is May 25 at the Gov. It's the Dirty 30 anniversary tour. Can you believe that? Thescreamingjets.com.au for tickets. Give us a ring. 133353. Righto, booing at the footy. Is it on? Is it a no-no? Let's go to the phones, Gleeso. Who have you got there?
We've got Adrian from Machado Park.
No, we've got Callum.
Callum from Mawson Lake.
Gleeso got it wrong. Boo. G'day, Callum.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you think?
I'm an excellent supporter myself. I don't really think that the booing was in relation to the Anzac Day medal. You've got three times in the last quarter where every single player on the ground has stood still due to a missed call from an umpire, whatever it may be, which could have swung the game further in Collingwood's favour or further in Essendon's favour. And the resentment of those calls, I believe, were a big factor in the booing at the end of the game.
Callum, I don't disagree with you because I don't barrack for either team. I thought the umpiring was horrendous. It was terrible, but it was for both teams. But you'd still question that why when Pendlebury gets up to get his medal, if they're booing the umpires, why are they booing him once they announce that...
Because the umpires had left the field. Like, okay, fair enough, boo them as they walk off because they did make too many calls. They kind of ruined an amazing game. But, like, it's over now. Just let Pendles do his speech. He got to the stage, he couldn't even talk because the booing was so loud. Mm.
And for Nathan Buckley, I mean, we didn't have the audio, but Nathan Buckley said, shame on you for booing a champion.
Jump
which, straight have we got it? Yeah. We have got it, sorry.
Thanks, Emma. Shame on anyone that booed a champion.
Yeah,
that got a cheer.
Strong words.
Itself. I hope that I would have been strong enough if, say, an Essendon player had won the medal in that exact same moment and Collingwood had responded that way. I hope I would have been strong enough to say the same thing, and I think I would have. Yeah, I don't like it, but that's just my opinion.
Do you know what? Collingwood supporters would never do that.
No, of course not. But look, well done to Nathan, because I respect his opinion in that situation. I think he did the right thing.
Definitely.
But booing at the footy, as I said, I think people will get booed tonight. They'll get booed all weekend and every other week. It's what we do, isn't it? So is it a bad thing? 133353, ruined. It's on Triple M with Gleeso and Alice.
Smithies, are they booing me?
No, they're saying boo-erns. Boo-erns.
Are you saying boo or boo-erns?
Boo!
Yeah, I think they're booing him.
That's like Roo probably believes he never was booed because they were just saying Roo.
That's right. All right, booing at the footy, is it a no-no or not?
We've got Brett from Flagstaff Hill. How are you, Brett?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, guys. Just ringing up in regard to yesterday's game. I think the previous caller might have said it as well. I think the booing started literally probably after that free kick that went the way of Collingwood right near the end of the game. Watching the game, obviously they were booing the umpires, going off the field, etc., etc. But for me, it probably should have stopped when Pendlebury got his award.
Yep.
That being said, I think it's just nature of the beast. Gary Ablett gets booed every time he's in Adelaide. It's probably not a good look. But if you throw that across other sports like the NBA recently in the playoffs, Aussie Ben Simmons playing for the Philadelphia 76ers had a stinker of the game, and actual his home crowd were actually booing him throughout the whole game.
His own fans, I know.
His own fans. So it's not a good look. You know, I can remember being at a Crows game and Tyson Edwards back in the day, you know, champion of the game, people calling out, you know, Crows fans telling him he was rubbish, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not a good look. But I think it comes down to, you know, probably the educated person appreciating a good athlete and a star of the game versus someone just heckling for the sake of it.
Good on you, Brett. Good call. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Brett. We're going to Mark now. Mark, tell us what you think about the booing. Is it cool or not?
I just think it's the nature of the game. I think Brett probably stole my... well, I was going to say a bit. It was really about the umpiring and just that last... Like Nemo said, there was a lot through the game, but in the last minute, there was a really bad call where Essendon should have got a free and then straight after Collingwood got a free and it, that game over then. But like Brett said, they should have still respected Scott Pendlebury, but that's the nature of football. People are emotional and, you know, they just... Booing's part of the game.
All right. Good on you, Mark. Thanks for that. Just before we go to Tim, Mel, could we play the Pendlebury speech again? And I'll tell you why, because I'm disagreeing slightly with what people are saying here. I think, and this is why I want to hear it again to see if I'm wrong, but Pendlebury says, I want to thank the crowd. Yeah. And as soon as he says it, that's when they start booing him. Have a listen to this.
And the winner of the Anzac Day medal is Scott Pendlebury of the Collingwood Footy Club.
Just on behalf of both sides, I want to thank the crowd.
So that's the point I wanted to...
They did boo a little bit when he came up, but then it got way worse.
But when they were making the announcement, for those that are saying it was about the umpires, when they were making the announcement and the winner is, the place is silent.
Yeah.
There's no booing going on then. So the umpires are well gone. I just want to point out, I think those that are saying it's about the umpiring, well, I'm not so sure.
It's almost like whenever a crowd does get thanked, you do make noise. So that could have been, you know, them just making themselves known a bit as well.
All right, let's go to Tim of Ranella. G'day, Tim.
G'day, mate. How you going?
What do you think?
Well, firstly, I think that booing's definitely a part of the game. Like, if you take away booing, you might as well take away cheering. It does, like, pump up the players. I don't agree with what happened yesterday when Scott Pendlebury had his speech.
Yep.
I think that at the end of the day, the bigger picture was the Anzac Day. The Anzac Day game, you see all the players at the end of the game shake hands and speak to each other. It was a bad look, but I don't believe booing should be taken away from the game.
All right. Good on you, Tim. Thanks for that.
It really sucks because it was such a good game.
It was a brilliant game.
As a Collingwood supporter, I know I was happy that they won, but do you know what? Either way, it was such a good display of a game.
The whole day was good.
And for just it to be ruined over these tiny little umpire calls, which are stupid, they need to have a look. The AFL needs to come out today and say, we're going to look at the umpiring.
Because it wasn't good. Now, Gleeso, your choice here to send someone along to see you and your band, the Screaming Jets, on May 25 at the Gov.
All right. What about Brett from Flagstaff Hill, all if right. he wants to come and see the Jets? Dirty 30, 25th of May at the Gov.
Can he boo you on stage?
No, please, no booing. No booing.
Hey, shortly, your chance to win $10,000 with the hearing test. This is going off.
Booyah.
Quiet, please. It's Triple M's $10,000 hearing test, thanks to CMI Toyota.
Hear more about the all-new RAV4 coming soon to three big locations, Adelaide, Cheltenham and Christie's Beach.
Oh, the suspense of it. Righto, who you got there, Gleeso?
10 large. Name the song, guess the voice and pick the sound. We are talking to Terry from Aldinga Beach. How you going, Terry?
Oh, not bad, thank you. How are you going?
Very well, thanks. Terry, how do you feel? Confident?
I really want this to go off because I want Rue to come home and be like, I stole your job for 3 days and I've given away 10 grand. So, Terry, my faith is in you.
I know. I'm still not sure about the song, though. Sorry.
All right. That's all right.
Well,
so,
I think the other two could be right.
Okay. What do you think they are?
Can we hear it?
Okay. I'm just going for a stab in the dark for Black Betty for the song.
Okay.
And the voice, I'm thinking Winston Churchill. And for the sound, I'm thinking it could be closing a book.
All right. Let's go to the adjudicator. The song? All right. So it's not Black Betty. All right. So 1-0 down there. Winston Churchill?
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Terry, and what was the sound again, Terry?
Closing a book.
Righto. Oh, Terry, sorry about that.
All right.
So we're playing it again throughout the day, aren't we, Alice?
Can we hear it one more time? Just for everyone listening, let's have a listen.
Oh, what it's going to be.
So it's those three things.
Those three things.
And it's every hour.
Obviously, you get to mark off the ones that aren't right. So you've got to keep listening so you can hear the wrong answers and not waste your chance.
When someone gets one right, we will tell you when it's right. Ooh. So it's all thanks to CMI Toyota. Hear more about their all-new RAV4 coming soon to three big locations, Adelaide, Cheltenham and Christie's Beach.
Good on you, Alice. In a moment, the stuff that didn't make it to air. It's on the cutting floor with Galiso.
Things we didn't get to.
There you go. What's on the cutting floor with Galiso, our favourite
First thing, next time I come back, I'm going to do a really good version of, well, not a good version of that, but a great opener for this part.
Can it be a bit more rock and roll?
Yeah. So I'm going to put some big guitars in it. But anyway, some serious stuff. One of the Sri Lankan terrorists has actually been associated with Australia, spent some time studying here in Melbourne, was actually on a watch list, which is just unthinkable that he could go on to do this stuff. He's been involved with that Neil Prakash, who's currently in a Turkish prison. So
sick of here. We talk about this a lot. People on watch lists. What's the point of watching them?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just boggles the mind. I guess they got a lot on their plate, the Asios, etc. But anyway, that's a terrible thing. They're thinking of building a hotel on the site of the Sari Club in Bali, which was bombed in 2002. 88 Australians lost their lives, and there's been outrage about that.
What's on it now?
Well, there's nothing there at the moment. Okay.
There's a shrine there.
There's a shrine, but as far as building's concerned, they want to build a hotel complex and stuff. People are saying maybe as long as they put a memorial in, that would be okay. But even the Prime Minister's weighed in saying it was deeply distressing. More political stuff, Fraser Anning.
What's he done now?
Nob. He's actually, with his far right-wing party, come out with his manifesto or whatever they call it, against immigration, relaxing gun restrictions, and not-for-profit banks, which I'm pretty sure you'll find is a major part of Islam, which is just the strangeness of Fraser Anning. Now, some lighter stuff, Joe Biden has joined the presidential race in America.
I think for the fourth time.
For the fourth time.
He's 3-0 down. He's going again.
He was obviously the vice president under Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. But in his classy way, obviously, Donald Trump acknowledges that that Joe Biden's joined the race. Welcome to the race, Sleepy Joe. Was his Twitter overnight. He's a classic. Now, for anyone...
Joe's been accused of being a bit touchy-feely, hasn't
he? Yes, I've read that.
With his staff?
And he's one of the guys who comes out. For anyone who felt uncomfortable when I was touching them, I apologise. And to all you people who didn't, give me a call.
Vote for me.
Wow.
Now, what about this? Harry and Meghan, the Meghan debacle, Meghan Markle and her fallout with Kate Middleton is just getting blown up all the time. But Harry and Kate were at an event yesterday, so everything's cool, except for William's over in New Zealand, so I'm worried if there's a bit of hanky-panky going on in the royal household.
Swapsies.
And finally, if you really want to put an entertainment event on your calendar, Married at First Sight up doing a stage show.
Get out.
That's going to be touring Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane. Obviously, they're the only states with people brainless enough to actually go along and see. What on earth would the Married at First Sight stage show look like? They'd obviously be...
We're asking the right person here in Alice.
Well, I'm just wondering how they're going to sing with their sausage lips.
And you'll be there, Alice. You'll buy a ticket.
There'll be pouring of red wine, bit of glassing going on.
Everything. Mm. So many bitch fights. I'm on Bachelor in Paradise at the moment, though, so I'm a bit off merit for this
one. Okay,
right. She's moved on to something more highbrow.
Now, Roo's back on Monday. Thanks for your help this week. Good on you, Gleeso.
No worries. It's always a pleasure.
And May the 25th at the Gov if you want to see the Screaming Jets.
Yep, Dirty 30, going around playing a bunch of songs from our vast back catalogue.
Good stuff. And Alice the Wag, you're off to where tonight?
Grooving in the Moo.
Right.
Yeah, Hilltop Hoods are playing. I'm just debating because it's going to be cold, but my outfit I've planned is a skirt.
Right.
But it's going to be cold. I might have to wear jeans. So
You know what you need? A Cosby sweater, if you can get one of those, and you can wear that to the show.
That's Ditz. That's a song by Hilltop Hoods.
Is it?
I knew you didn't get it.
All right. See you on Monday. Back with Roo. Thanks, mate. Everybody.
Thanks.
See ya.
Listening to Breakfast with Ruined Its Catch-Up can make you easily distracted. But there's one thing you need to remember. Mother's Day is on its way. Spoil mum at Chemist Warehouse with fragrances like Giorgio Armani C 50ml for $109.99 or Issey Miyake for women 100ml only $69.99. 104.7 Triple M.